Welcome to Earth's Mightiest Weirdos. Smaller panel than usual. We are going to run just the three of us tonight to wrap up She-Hulk. Jalen, I believe this is the first time you've been on Weirdos in a while. Definitely the first time you've been on to talk She-Hulk for sure.
No, I think I did the first episode.
Okay.
Did I do the first episode? I don't remember.
This show feels like it took about 14 years and about 2 minutes all at the same time.
I know. So. I may have been on the first one. I don't know. Either way, I'm glad to be back.
Well, if you were on the first one, you were here when Robert predicted that a certain young Hulk was going to make an appearance, and it turns out Robert nailed that prediction. Sarah is here saying hello from the airport, and Maya is here as well. Sarah, Maya, Jalen, you guys were supposed to talk the finale of She-Hulk a few days ago on Nerdy Girls After Dark, and that got interrupted with a bridal shower put on for the fourth Nerdy Girl After Dark. Jalen, how was the bridal shower?
It was a lot of fun. Just played some games, hung out with friends, but we will talk She-Hulk again. We'll do a whole She-Hulk episode with the girls.
Good. I did have a couple of people reach out to the Nerd Life going, I wanted to hear what they had to say.
Don't worry.
You guys do need to get back to it, but I'm glad you're able to join us tonight to give us a sneak peek on what may be coming on Nerdy Girls After Dark. Kevin, welcome back to the show. This was your most anticipated show. Let's ask right now, did it live up to the hype?
I think leading up to this final episode, it was teetering, but then I definitely think this final episode is the best, if not the best, or close to, if not the best, final episode of Disney Plus series, I think. I think it really did something totally different, and I can't wait to talk about it with you guys.
It definitely did something different. It was something that could not be predicted. I will say, it's been hard for Disney Plus in general to wrap up a story. This one called that out and went a completely different direction. I will say it's hard for Disney Plus to have the final episode be the best episode of the series. I still don't think they did it with She-Hulk, because I do think that episode 8 is just a little bit better for just my sensibilities. Mm-hmm. I think Matt Murdock's awesome. But from a shock factor, I don't think you could have done anything more than that. Jalen, before we talk about some other news, before we get into She-Hulk, did this live up to your expectation? Did you have a lot of expectation coming in?
Well, I knew nothing about this character except that it's She-Hulk, that it's a woman. And I love Tatiana.
Explanatory name.
I think she's great. She was great in Orphan Black, so I was excited to see her in this show. This was my most anticipated show for this year, and it definitely lived up to the hype for me. This finale was great. I don't know where it stands compared to all the other shows yet. I need to let this digest a little bit more and rewatch some other shows, but it's up there. It was really good.
Jalen saw me coming. She knew I was going to ask her, where does this rank? Luke's here as well. Welcome back. Thank you so much for coming. I love that profile picture of Luke and Ahsoka. That's interesting. That could be a whole topic of Babu's freaking podcast all on its own. Babu's freaking podcast, speaking of, we want to apologize. We've been off for a lot longer than we intended. My work schedule has just lightened up quite a bit for the rest of the year. So we are going to be talking Andor very soon. If you gave Andor a chance and it wasn't for you, find a quiet place and watch 3 episodes at a time. Episode 4, 5, and 6. I wish they had dropped them in 3 episode increments where you could watch these like mini movies. This show is not about Andor, but I do want to sing the praises of Andor and the visuals that was the eye in that last 6th episode. Absolutely riveting stuff for Star Wars fans. I really, really enjoyed it. Did somebody say Star Wars? Kevin, who's my favorite character from Star Wars?
Oh, I don't know. Begins with
San Holo
would be his name.
Han Solo, aka Harrison Ford, is officially making his way to the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Jalen, what do you know Harrison Ford most from? Don't say Secret Life of Pets 2, please.
Brian would say that.
Yeah, he would.
I haven't even seen that movie, so I like the first one. I have not seen all the Indiana Jones movies. So The Fugitive, I love that movie. That was probably the first Harrison Ford movie I saw was probably The Fugitive. That one's really good. I've seen some Indiana Jones. I can't tell you which ones. I'd have to look it up.
If you've seen Raiders of the Lost Ark and Last Crusade, then you're doing fine. Temple of Doom, Kingdom of the Crystal Skull is better than Temple of Doom. I said it.
I think Jalen's seen I think she's seen four. I think we've had this discussion. I think we've figured out she saw four somehow.
I don't know. Sure.
It's the one with It's the one with the aliens.
Yeah. Late Night Alum says, I cannot wait to see him as Thunderbolt Ross. If rumors are to be true, they were rumors until today. The Hollywood Reporter and Deadline both are reporting that Harrison Ford is going to make appearances as Thunderbolt Ross in Captain America New World Order, as well as the Thunderbolts. So these are no longer rumors. These are trusted and verified things that are happening. Hopefully we see the return of Liv Tyler as well. I would be completely down for that. That would be great. So those rumors, no longer rumors. That's why we're talking about it now, because this is happening. I am bummed that they couldn't figure it out, because if you had Kevin Feige on stage with Harrison Ford next to him at D23 announcing this, I would have forgiven any and all other shortcomings or lack thereof that D23 was from a Marvel Studios panel. But Kevin, what do you make of this news? Are you as excited as I am? I know you're a little bit more nervous than others.
Yeah, you and I have had this discussion, Brian, and it's a weird way to answer this question. Is I'm completely excited about Harrison Ford in this role. The problem I have is that William Hurt, when he died, was 71. Harrison Ford is 80. So I'm just, to me, the not trying to say that, oh, Harrison Ford is going to pass soon or anything, but I'm just like, why do you go with somebody who was even older than William Hurt to recast this role than somebody slightly younger who might stick around? And if rumors are true that at some point he will be Red Hulk, like, again, Harrison Ford has done a bunch of his own stunts, but again, he is older, so how much, if he is the Red Hulk, will he be in any motion capture? Will it just be face capture and have somebody else be in that motion capture rig, you know? But on the whole of Thunderbolt Ross coming into this these properties, it definitely is fueling the rumors that, like, Captain America New World Order is more or less like a mini Hulk movie, or what is being set up with. We got the leader coming in. There are unconfirmed rumors that Mark Ruffalo is going to appear, potentially Tatiana with as She-Hulk will appear in that, you know? So that's shaping up to be a very interesting movie, more so than what I think we know on the outside of what's officially confirmed, you know, of what it is. So I'm very curious to see where it's all headed.
I'm still pretty mad at Kevin for saying see you on the big screen and then him pulling the plug right there at the end with Tatiana. I'm leaning more toward how Sarah's thinking as well. Makes me think Thunderbolt will pass the torch. I think that character is not going to exist. I do think we might get a rewriting of Red Hulk to an extent.
I hope so. Mm-hmm.
Who could that be? That would be a really gutsy move to cast Red, because Red Hulk has to have a future beyond the Thunderbolts, I would think. So I would assume you'd have to have somebody else be that character, so you could kind of do justice for the legacy of the character of Thunderbolt Ross, for lack of a better term. William Hurt played the role from 2008 all the way up until he passed. His last appearance was in Black Widow. So he was starting to go downhill storyline wise too. He was, and they could have been setting up a Red Hulk thing, but they could do that. Sarah is very much on the bandwagon of Liv Tyler coming back as Betty as well. Got to throw this in there. Jim says Jen smashes Matt Murdock and Tennessee smashes Alabama's defense. Wait, wrong show. Welcome back to the show, Jim. Jalen, so do you think this is leading more toward you? Now, you know nothing about Thunderbolt Ross, Red Hulk, anything like that. No. Do you think casting this older character is meaning we're probably on our way out with that character?
I would assume so. I mean, Harrison Ford, that's a big name to get. So I feel like, you know, getting him in for one last ride with this character, you know, that's a good choice. He's someone that could do it well and pass the torch. I could see that happening. Whoever that would be, I don't know.
Well, if you add up screen time for William Hurt, it's not a lot. So, like, we're not expecting a lot of Thunderbolt. I know the movie is called The Thunderbolts, but it doesn't mean he's going to be in the movie a ton. Like,
well, isn't Julia Louis-Dreyfus in that movie? Yeah. Isn't she like some sort of leader type person?
Yeah, like too? It seems like she's probably reporting to Thunderbolt Ross. Okay. We don't know that for sure. The Thunderbolts reported to Thunderbolt Ross, that hence the namesake, but like we don't really know what they're going to do. But Julia Louis-Dreyfus is, for lack of a better term, the leader of the Thunderbolts at this point. At least she's pulling the strings, getting John Walker and everybody else. So, so we'll see. Sarah wants to go full blown Betty as Red She-Hulk.
Yes.
Is Red She-Hulk an established character?
Yes. Yeah. So, part of what, from the comics, there was this run, sort of what with this intelligentsia that we got in She-Hulk here with that group of like the smarty characters in comics. So MODOK, the leader, they are essentially taking Hulk's blood and experimenting, and that's how Red Hulk comes about. And then also through that process is how Betty becomes the Red She-Hulk. It's all kind of around that era of comics. So I definitely feel like they're, at least with She-Hulk now and what we're getting set up for the future, they're pulling, I think, from that specific era of the World War Hulks, the plural Hulks era of that comics, especially with the character that got introduced, Scar, at the end. And, you know, I think that's a big draw, I think, for their inspiration for some of these upcoming movies and shows.
We'll talk about it when we get to Kevin in the rest of the films and things that he said. I'm going to call this back up to Jim. I'm going to cross the streams just a little bit. Jim, congratulations on Tennessee's win over Alabama. Jalen Hyatt is for real. 6 receptions, 207 yards, and 5 touchdowns. A big other Tennessee fan is Justin Grant, and it is Justin's birthday today. It's my birthday! So happy birthday to our listener. Justin, let's talk a little bit more that we didn't talk about already. We did get some shifts in release dates for Marvel Studios films. So we are still looking at this coming holiday season, as far as we know. I still can't believe we have nothing on this, but maybe that's going to be how they do things with special presentations. Because we didn't know a lot about Werewolf by Night until a month before it came out. So we got to be pushing close to a month before we're going to get the Guardians of the Galaxy holiday special. I do expect that to be released under a special presentation format as well. I think Marvel was very happy, if rumors are to be trusted, with the special presentation and the reception of that. I think we're going to get a little bit more of that in the future. I do think that there may be some things that were being discussed as series that are just now going to go special presentation format. So we'll see kind of where they go there. But we got Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania in February. That stayed. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 in May, that stayed. The Marvels stayed on July 28th of 2023. Captain America New World Order is now going to be the next film after the Marvels. They did push back the release date of Blade, which was in November of 22. So now Marvel has completely vacated the back half of 2023. And they're not going to put anything else in its spot, because the second they moved, Dune 2 took that spot. So Dune Part 2 is coming in there. So Marvel's just going to kind of let that go. In the middle of that, by the way, I can't wait. June of 2023, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. Yep. So for Marvel fans, that's going to be a big one for us. I know it's not an MCU proper, but we will absolutely be discussing that film here on Earth's Mightiest Weirdos. The Thunderbolts is then going to be, so then we got Captain America in May of 24, Thunderbolts in July of 24, Blade now September of 24. They're still looking for a new director. So I would not be shocked to see that movie shift again if they're not able to find something in the relatively near future. Jalen, I want to ask you, when this was discussed before Kara was on, Kara has absolutely no understanding or desire to understand Blade or vampires or anything like that. Are you in on Blade, Jalen? You are our resident Halloween movie person.
I am, but that card may be taken away because I have not seen Blade, the Wesley Snipes, right? Yeah. I did not see those movies, but
one and two are worth watching. Trinity.
I just watched one myself. They're on Hulu if you want, Jalen.
Hulu, okay, yeah. I'll find them. But I mean, I'm excited. I love vampires and spooky supernatural things, so I'm excited to see what the MCU does with it. I hope it's dark and spooky and scary and vampire deaths and all that fun stuff happening.
There's a lot of turmoil around that movie. It makes me a little bit concerned. It seems like they had an idea in Mahershala Ali on board before they really knew what they were going to do. So we'll see. We just got news. Deadpool 3 was September 26th of 2024. It is now November 8th of 2024. Fantastic Four vacates that date into February 14th, Valentine's Day of 25. Kang Dynasty Avengers stayed put. There is an untitled film in November of that year, so nothing in July that year. And then Avengers Secret War vacated November for May 1st of 2026. Shang-Chi 2 better be filling one of these dates very, very soon. I need to see Shang-Chi again. Kevin, do you have any thoughts on these dates before we talk about She-Hulk?
I mean, we all, as soon as it was announced at San Diego Comic-Con that we were getting two Avengers films in the same year, we were all like, yeah, that's not going to happen. And so, like, that was all kind of expected that that would move to about a year apart. But yeah, I mean, I think the only thing now, which I've just seen some chatter online, is just, it's just the map of the phases has just kind of been blown up, and we don't really know where the delineation, at least for phase five and phase six, because I personally thought, oh, Fantastic Four, that's the first film, but I went back, I found footage of somebody in the hall, and Feige never said it was the first film. He was just like, oh, we're going to show you phase six, and here's a film. It's phase or Fantastic Four, you know.
But so, it was the on that phase six,
it was the first eight. Yeah, but there was, I think, and there was another like fall one like right before it, I think. So okay, it was a good assumption, I think. But and so yeah, it's just we're I'm assuming Blade is still in phase five, and then Deadpool was the, when that originally got announced, it was like that was borderline each phase. So, but other than that, I mean, yeah, like you said, I hope Blade, I think they're supposed to start production now early next year in the spring sometime. So they have until maybe the end of this year to get a director on so that he can, like, he or she can start doing the prep they need to. So like you said, Brian, if that doesn't happen, then yeah, that we could see Blade movie more again. So hopefully that's not the case, because we've been waiting a while for this one.
I was actually surprised to hear Fantastic Four moving, considering they have had Matt Shackman on for a couple of months now. Mm-hmm. I assumed it to be moving forward in plenty of time. They could be just thinking grand with that film, though. I honestly was surprised to see Secret Wars move. I wasn't that pessimistic about two Avengers films in 1 year, only because I think the Avengers rosters to be completely different. I think the Kang Dynasty is going to have its own roster, its mm-hmm. own storyline, the Loki side of things, and then Secret Wars be the Nick Fury side of things, and almost two different completely Avengers rosters with not a ton of overlap in there. That's kind of why I thought it was possible. So we'll see. But put Shang-Chi in anything and everything. Put Jennifer Walters in more things. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about that. So we start off the episode with an homage to the original series from the late 70s, with Bill Bixby as Bruce Banner, and then the Hulk himself, Lou Ferrigno. Peek behind the curtain, Kevin and I had to describe to Jalen who Lou Ferrigno is, but that's okay. But it was just a fun sequence that, if you want to go on YouTube, you can see all the inspiration they took to make this film. But Kevin, what did you make of this opening sequence?
Yeah, it was great. It was a great surprise, because Jalen had also, we had discussed before the show, we kind of forgot about that little clip of Tatiana and Mark Ruffalo and doing the line from that opening that was in one of the very first trailers for this. And it, like, I completely forgot about it. I think maybe I thought slightly before the finale, I was like, oh yeah, that happened. Like, I wonder where that's going to fit in. Like, but I didn't even think that they would just do the entire opening, you know? And like you said, if you find it online, it's pretty much a shot for shot and narration read like exactly the same. So, and I think I read that they said Kat Coiro had said that they did license some like background plates from the show, so that's helped them in whatever CGI green screening they were doing and whatnot. So that was really cool, and yeah, to see them do that, it was really cool to, as because Marvel has been doing a great job of referencing and honoring all these older projects that people revered and loved, like growing up or whatever, and that had been in the conscious of everybody for these characters. Like the Incredible Hulk was like a mainstay for so long for so many people, and like a way to honor that as since both were TV shows, I think was a great way to do it.
You know what we don't need to honor is Captain America with the helmet with the rubber ears on it from 1990. We never ever need to bring that back up ever again, except I will bring it up at any point that I can. So Jalen, I'm going to come to you on this next one. Jen has fallen on tough times. Her neighbors don't trust her. Nobody trusts her. She's got camera crews on her front lawn. She's moving back in with her parents. No shame in that. I speak from experience. But she's having to move back in with her parents. Her dad's got water pressure for days. Are you able to kind of put yourself in Jen's shoes? Kind of what did you make of just her having to make this decision?
Yeah, it was a hard montage to watch. She just, you know, just kept losing everything, you know, every day something else would get taken away. It was sad for her. I was sad. I was like, she needs something good to happen. But it is nice that she does have supporting parents that, you know, would take her back in and help, you know, protect her from those dang reporters. And do what they can to support her and encourage her. So I was glad she has a supporting family to help in this situation, because if you didn't, that would make it even more tough.
The part where her mom's asking her to move the bookcase. Oh, yeah, you can't read the book anymore.
Her family's great.
Find somebody who cares about you the way Nikki cares about Elaine.
Yes.
Jennifer's mom. I thought that was hilarious. Nikki is the best character to come out of this show for me.
Mm-hmm. I love Nikki.
Followed very, very closely by Pug. I think Pug is hilarious, and we're going to talk a lot more about him here in just a second. Kevin, did you realize what Nikki was doing when she asked for that video from her mom?
No, I think initially she was just like, oh, there's this embarrassing video of Jen. Like, let me have that, please. Thank you.
You don't think she hatched her plan right when she saw the video?
I don't think so. At least I didn't read it that way. Or the way that they cut it. I just thought she was like, oh, this is it was just like one of those things where you see something from a friend and you're like, oh, I need that just like for like a birthday or an anniversary down the line. You'd be like, oh, remember this video? Like, and just like share it with the group and whatever. And
the then picture of a friend's top knot. Maybe.
Yeah. But I thought that was great. And then, but yeah, Nikki, who being who she was, yeah, once we get cut to the office, I was like, oh, that's like a great, like, she was like, wow, that was easy. It's like, am I a genius or wait, no. And it, like, yeah, that was really great. And how it was just so easy for her to get in and figure out what was happening and helping Jen figure out who these people were.
Yeah. We're going to talk about Hulk King, that reveal, here in a little bit, because Kevin, I think you were as surprised as I was that it wasn't a particular person. But Jalen, what did you make of Nikki, I guess, in this entire show and in this particular episode? What did you, I do like that she said, I'm going to continue to work here because they pay me a lot of money.
Right. I love Nikki. She's hilarious. She tells it like it is. I did have a mini panic moment when she was in her office and she uploaded the video. I was like, no, she can't turn on Jen. Like, I panicked, and then it all, you know, she was just, you know, trying to get those boys to tell her where to meet them up. But yeah, I was happy that she wasn't, you know, against Jen and she was on her side. But there was that little moment where I'm like, oh, they're going to do this? Turn the best friend against her?
I never even considered her turning against her. There was somebody that we'll talk about here in a little bit that I thought had turned against her, and that was a good old okie doke that the show pulled on us. But let's talk about Pug infiltrating the group, Jalen. He just has to say the word females constantly. But I am bummed that she tells him he's not going to be the only one with an earpiece in. And then I really expected everybody in that room to have one AirPod in, but that didn't happen. Unfortunately, I thought it would have been hilarious. But did you enjoy watching Pug? What does he say to himself? Just be gross.
Be gross.
Be gross. Yes. You could see how hard it was for him because he was so uncomfortable being in there and having to say mean things about Jen and females. And having to be around all those other gross men in that room. And Josh, having to
Josh Segarra is the actor, and he nailed this role.
He did. He was perfect as Pug. I want more Pug. I would love a Nikki Pug special presentation or something of them just going on adventures in their Avengers gear. That's yeah, what
going,
I want.
Going to get the new drop of Iron yeah. Man shoes or yes. drawing up the best bathroom map for pooping.
Yeah.
Kevin, how about Pug here? Did you enjoy this as much as we did?
Yeah, I thought it was a lot of great physical comedy of just seeing how much he was struggling, but then he was like, okay, I got to do this. And then it still was like, he still just couldn't do it. And then even Nikki was like, Todd gets into the mix and he's like, did she bang like the boss, like
Holloway?
Yeah. And then he's like, yeah. But she's like, Nikki's like, act upset about that. And he's like, yeah, that like, it sucked that like she did. And then like, and then Nikki's just like being in the thing. But I loved how when Nikki read the thing and she saw bro, she was like, oh, like I can't go. Like I need Pug to like be a bro. Mm-hmm. And like, that was, yeah, I just thought that all that was really, really great. I liked it.
Well, and nobody, like, the second, if Nikki goes to that event, even, like, as herself, like, eventually Todd figures her, like, you're just undercover here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but Pug going in being, like, having gotten his job taken away from him, basically, like, Todd doesn't even consider the fact that Pug is a double agent here. So, it actually worked out super well. And then when they lose connection, though, she goes, okay, he can improvise. This guy can't improvise. So Kevin, we get the reveal that Todd is the Hulk King.
Mm-hmm.
Hulk King is not the leader. Kevin, what did you make of this? Are you still surprised?
I mean, it made sense. I mean, like kind of what this whole episode was, it was all leading towards this anyways. And it's like, and I think if it wasn't, it like Jen would have been like, who's this weird villain that we haven't seen in years, like just dropping in out of nowhere, you know? I wouldn't have been, it was fine it was Todd, because we all were kind of assuming it was Todd anyway, or possibly involved, you know? But I think it would have been great, it still could have been cool if, or to be like, oh, he was working, like he could have like mentioned, like, even though I'm running Intelligentsia and I'm the admin or whatever, like I'm answering to X higher power or whatever, and that could have at least teased the leader's involvement, you know. But without it, it wasn't to the level of Mephisto, I think, but I mean, it definitely was, it felt like that, like, oh, we're gonna get Mephisto, we're gonna get the leader, but like they never said we were, and it didn't really detract from it, because like we said, it just like the storyline, it all went there, and then Jen dismantled all of it anyway. So
it was just the timing of the leader being announced to be the main antagonist in Captain America New World mm-hmm. Order. It just made the most sense.
Mm-hmm.
I like how self-contained this story remained, like all things considered, considering you broke the fourth wall like they did. And but you introduced this to Scar and you did drop hints and you asked Kevin questions that we all want to ask Kevin questions, like when are the X-Men coming? Stuff like that. So I thought they did a brilliant job of containing this episode within the much grander scale that it's supposed to be, which is, again, the debate we constantly have about these films. Jalen, how about you? Were you, I mean, you'd been hearing us talk about the leader, but I don't think you had any anticipation in seeing him.
No. Is the leader, does he call himself the Hulk King? Like, is that a thing?
No.
No.
He doesn't. Oh, okay,
but he's interested in getting Hulk's blood, like the blood of a Hulk. So that so that part of the character was like, oh, that kind of fits his MO. So
gotcha. I was just gonna say, even if that's what the leader likes to call himself, or that's what people call the leader, I could just see Todd just being dumb and just saying, oh, I'm the Hulk King, and not even knowing that there's a bigger, better, an actual one out there that he just calls himself because, you know,
so he's a Mandarin situation.
I will say I was laughing when he was transforming into the Hulk. It was so goofy and dumb, and how his body's all big but his head is still tiny.
So hold that thought for just a minute, because we're going to talk about exactly that here in just a second. But I want to ask Jalen, did you feel betrayed when the Abomination entered the room?
No, because I've been talking with Kara and she's been saying that he's still been Abomination. So it didn't surprise me.
But did you think he was against Jennifer when he walked in the room? That's more what I've been like. Honestly, the fact that he came in as Abomination, that didn't shock me one bit. Mm-hmm. But the fact that they at least for about 10 seconds had you thinking he was part of this big plot to take down Jennifer.
Yeah, I guess it was the same feeling as like with Nikki that I had, where it's like, oh, now another person against Jen that she's trusting. But then he starts talking and instantly, you know, oh, he doesn't know what's going on here. He just thinks he's giving motivational speeches.
You weren't happy with your place in the world. Maud told me that you guys were just fed up or what?
Yeah, like he doesn't know that these guys are there to, you know, rag on Jen. And then, I mean, he does a good thing by trying to save her from Hulking, you know, he picks her up and stuff, so
absolutely.
He tries to do the good thing.
He still is very much the nice guy we've been meeting, except for the fact that he's been lying about turning into the Abomination. But I mean, he had problems with the tracker on his ankle. He claims it was an electric fence. He clearly has been turning into the Abomination. So how did he get beyond this inhibitor thing? We don't really know. I do expect him to pop up again, and we know where he is now. Let's just kind of put a wrap on the character of Abomination right now. Kevin, where do you expect to see him again? Do you expect to see him again? Because we know he's been taken back to Kamar-Taj with Wong.
Yes, I do hope we see him again. And I mean, everybody's all we're feeling Thunderbolts. I mean, I feel like the general consensus here and across the internet, like, because they need some Hulk-esque character. And I mean, Abomination, he's back in prison technically. I mean, as far as we know, it looked like Wong was taking him like for good, but like, who knows if Wong is going to place him back or something, or I don't know. But yeah, it's interesting to see how a lot of people are at Kamar-Taj now. It feels like we got like Shang-Chi's kind of in that realm. We have America Chavez is there, you know, so like a lot of people are holing up at Kamar-Taj right now.
And Madison, she's there.
Yes.
All right. So I think Abomination showing up in Thunderbolts makes the most sense too. I thought the reason they didn't put him in that picture for Thunderbolts would spoil the ending of She-Hulk. It actually really wouldn't have, all things considered. So I'm interested, and Tim Roth seems like he's on board. This character of Emil Blonsky was a lot of fun. And I thought that was really fun. Well, let's get into talking about that right now, Jalen. Jen calls out how clunky everything is. Mm-hmm. Were you saying none of this makes any sense? Why are we doing this?
Mm-hmm. Yes. So Todd I was following along with her.
Yeah. Todd looks completely goofy. he'd skip leg day all day, every day for the rest of his life. But he just looked dumb. Jen calls that out. And then Nikki comes in, and then Titania comes in, and Nikki goes, does she ever use a door?
Like, yeah.
And then Bruce shows up, and then Bruce punches the Abomination, and you're like, what is happening?
Yeah.
And then it cuts to the Disney Plus screen. Jalen,
I thought my Disney Plus like froze or something. I'm like, wait, I pushed a button and I went back to the homepage. It's like, it was like that WandaVision episode where it like skipped.
Yeah.
I was like, what's happening here? And then she bust out of the frame. But
I've never used the Marvel tile, but I kind of should. That Marvel banner that they have there is
it's cool.
It's pretty cool. I like that. Mm-hmm. Kevin, were you did you think it was jumbled intentionally? Did you think they were trying to do something?
In a sense, yeah. I definitely when Jen was like, what is going on? Like, yeah, by the end it was like, okay, like this is just like, this is feeling weird. Like this is feel like, I mean, the stuff with the blood, I was like, okay, sure. I can kind of like, again, as we're kind of been trained and expected, I was like, okay, I can see that like being the story, like we're going to do that. Then, yeah, but Titania showing up, I was like, okay, that's a little weird. Like, why is she here? But then like Bruce just coming down, it's like, okay, now I felt it was going to be more commentary of like, oh, here comes the male hero to like save me, like, and or whatever, you know. But then, yeah, and then So yeah, the Disney Plus thing shows up and I'm like, I sort of had a moment that I'm like, oh, I think I know what's happening here. And then I'm like, okay, here we go. And this is going to be great. And it was.
And she jumps through the tile of Marvel Studios assembled. Was it Shang-Chi?
Yeah, but I think I read that it's the just the general, like the like it's show Shang-Chi, but it's just the assembled for whatever. And it's I think it's supposed to be the assembled for her show. Gotcha. That's kind of how she went through. But yes, I thought for a second they were going to show up in Australia and we were going to see Simu Liu like for a second, like, or Daniel Cretton for a second. But then I realized, oh, it's she's going into her assembled, which is the thing. So.
Well, and what's crazy is when she lands in the quote unquote real world on the Disney lot in California, mm-hmm. it's the very first shot we ever got of She-Hulk.
Yep.
Of her in that suit mm-hmm. and from like
the legs up.
Yeah. Yeah. Just crazy. Having worked for the Walt Disney Company for a long time, I've seen many of those buildings in like corporate trainings and stuff like that, especially the one with the seven dwarf statues holding mm-hmm. up everything. Like that is the Disney lot. Just hilarious how they broke this fourth wall mm-hmm. and she walks into the writer's room, she infiltrates the room, and the guy is saying, what if we make the second season a complete dream sequence? Keep that in mind for season two. They're gonna try and throw us off that it's not a dream sequence and something is gonna be a dream sequence. Maybe not the whole season, but that is what he was saying. David says, when you think about it, this actually goes that this actually started back in episode 7, right before she goes to the gala. She said, this feels weird. This episode should be over. That is, yes. I mean, I think that was actually, that was episode 8. Yeah, that was right after Daredevil's Walk of Shame, which, again, still my favorite clip to come out of this show. I thought that was hilarious. So she walks into the writer's room. It was a bit suspicious for me because I was on an airplane watching this for the very first time, so I had subtitles on because I couldn't hear it very well. So when you get the subtitles right when the writer's room talk about Kevin, it is an acronym. Mm-hmm. And then when She-Hulk talks about Kevin, it's just the name Kevin. Mm-hmm. So it did tip you off that something was going on here, which is kind of a bummer, but I see why it had to happen the way that it did. She goes up to Marvel Studios, the thing we've seen in pictures many times with the blue wall with the Marvel Studios logo and the Iron Man suits there. Mm-hmm. And the guy says, everybody has to sign an NDA. Like, I thought that was hilarious. Mm-hmm. She fights her way into the room looking a la Black Widow from Iron Man 2. Jalen, we then get the appearance of, I want to get this right, Knowledge Enhanced Visual Interconnectivity Nexus, AKA Kevin, complete with a ball cap. Kevin or Jalen, what did you think when you saw Kevin for the first time?
Well, I think like most people, we were expecting the real Kevin. That would have been hilarious. But you know, I'm fine with robot Kevin too, with his baseball cap lens thing, because the robot can't wear an actual baseball cap because that'd be weird, apparently, according to Kevin.
For those of you that haven't read that, Kat Coiro, in an interview after this episode aired, said that when they pitched this idea to Kevin Feige, the concept art had a robot wearing an actual ball cap. And he said, no, like robots don't wear hats. And they're like, that's your issue here? Jalen, you say you were surprised not to see the man himself. Mm-hmm. Looking back on it now, the way he operates, this actually makes more sense.
Yeah. I mean, being in that position, you kind of have to be like a robot. You know, there's a lot going on. I mean, I think it just would have been fun just to see Kevin Feige, you know, show absolutely. Up. Even if she was talking to the robot and then she leaves and then the real Kevin comes out and just says like, good job or something, you know, just like acknowledges the robot did his job. But I was entertained. I thought it was hilarious. I love them calling themselves out with, you know, how everything's kind of been the same. I love them calling out the last.
Yes, this is my favorite. This is my favorite.
I love them calling out the lack of like romance in the MCU. So hopefully that changes with how this show ends. Hopefully
they've been historically light in that department.
Yes. So hopefully that changes. That's my big thing that I want. I need more romance in the MCU.
I would have loved another fourth wall break where, like, the real Kevin Feige was like Kevin's secretary or something. that would have been funny. But I totally get it. Kevin, you asked me to load this up. We got Tatiana Maslany giving her sticking her tongue out, giving the camera a thumbs up, asking all the questions she could possibly ask, including when are we going to meet the X-Men? Yeah. Kevin, what did you make of this scene?
Oh, it was great. Just backing up very quickly, when she first drops in, just some quick cameos, the person who's being interviewed for the Assembled is Russell Bobbitt, the props master on like pretty much every Marvel Studios thing. So it was pretty cool. And then in the writer's room, even though they had actors for writer Jess and writer Zeb, Jessica Gao, who was the head writer, wasn't there. Plus Zeb Wells, he was the one up at the whiteboard, and Cody Ziegler, who was also a writer, were in that. And oh, and then the Marvel Studios receptionist, I read it was the then actual receptionist. He has since been promoted, but that guy was
because
Jessica Gao wanted to be like, if somebody saw this episode and they come to Marvel Studio, they'll be like, oh, I saw that guy in the episode, and he's like, sign the NDA please, you know.
So, that's awesome. He did a good job. Like, I assume he was an actor. He did a good job.
No. It was the then receptionist whenever they filmed it. I want to claim a half receipt because I had been saying on here, I was like, oh, Kevin, I want Kevin Feige to show up. And I think this was so much better. Like you said, I was like saying,
but to myself, you were at least tipped off on that, right? Like, you had read Kevin Feige makes an appearance or something. Like, you didn't.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, did you? Okay.
Oh, well, I didn't know it was the robot, but I thought it was like him in person. But I was like, but what you said, Brian, I was like, knowing who he is as a person, I was like, I don't know, that would, I feel like that he doesn't want to be in front of the camera and like anything. Like, they even asked him to voice robot Kevin and he was like, no, I'm not gonna voice this, you know. So but yeah, it was so great, pretty much echoing everything Jalen said of all the stuff of how we just heard everything about how we're going, and him starting off and being like, please deform from She-Hulk because the visual effects team has moved on to other projects. And you hear the little Wakanda drums indicating they've been moved on to Wakanda forever, you know, which is hilarious. And I lost it when she's like, Jen's just like, we're like buddies now, I'm just gonna sit on the floor and relax and be like, yeah, so when are the X-Men coming? And then she like looks at it and does that because she's like, I got you guys, like, I know you want me to ask us. She's like, I can't tell you that. So yeah, the whole interaction was so good. I loved it.
Well, and he's gonna spoil, like, Hulk needs to explain what he was doing, and save it for the movie.
Yeah.
World War Hulk, it feels like an announcement could come at any moment at this point. Mm-hmm. But then he says, see you on the big screen, and she's like, really? And then nope. Season 2 is probably the next one. I do think she could pop up in Captain America New World Order, mm-hmm. Even if just for a quick cameo. We're going to talk a little bit more about the next place she may pop up here in just a minute, but I thought when they say the visual effects team has moved on to other projects, you need to transform off camera with the Wakanda theme. Just super fourth wall breaking. She says Bruce smashes building, I smash fourth walls and bad endings, and Matt Murdock.
Yeah, that was great.
Just super, super clever and creative and divisive, and some mm-hmm. people really, really hate it. And I thought it was clever. I enjoyed it. They put it in daytime when she goes back into her show. Everything's fine, and then Daredevil just drops out of the sky. Hilarious. He's like, why am I here? Like, what?
Yeah.
So Daredevil shows up back at, oh, and then what does Titania say? Like, we're gonna see a murder.
Yeah, about to witness a murder, and she's like recording it.
But then Daredevil shows up and Titania's like, hi, Daredevil. Like, she just loves, like, Daredevil. Like, it's so funny. And he just salutes to her.
But I also love in that we do get, when she goes up to Todd, she does deform slightly with the VFX. Like, you see, like, her partially go back into Jen. So I thought that was funny that they sort of, like, she couldn't do it with Kevin, but, like, okay, they did their one opportunity to do it right there to get the slight the transformation morphing.
Yeah. I mean, David saying Todd could still be working for somebody. I think Todd's an idiot. Like, I think I hope it's the last time we see the guy. I think he's just a doofus. Like, mm-hmm. that's what I expect. I do think that they had a lot of guys in this show that were just there to be doofuses, and that's just kind of what it was. It is what it is. You've got Pug and Matt Murdock, so I feel represented just fine. So it worked out okay. But I don't see a lot of lasting effects from side characters from this series. But Daredevil comes over for family dinner. They're talking about having children, even though Matt didn't know that that was going to come out of there. We are leaving this show with Matt Murdock and Jennifer Walters are an item. Jalen, this pleases you.
Yes, I am here for it, and it better stay, and we better get more of them together. You know, just I don't care if she's in all of the Daredevil show. Just give me more Jen and Matt. So we need it.
That's my question. Jalen, do you think Tatiana Maslany appears in at least one episode of Daredevil Born Again?
Yes, I would say so. Kevin, I would assume she would. I mean, how do you not have them? They had great chemistry, so you have to have them together.
I think so, unless the tonal shift of Daredevil Born Again is more Netflix style than what, or if they can find some middle ground to make her fit and not feel like it's totally throwing that series off, like. I think she'll show up for at least an episode in Born Again. Cause I think that would be a worthwhile, cause all through the Netflix series, it was like, oh, when are we going to get any MCU characters? And obviously that was its own thing, you know? And like now Daredevil has been here and like, we're going to get his own solo series. And, but to have somebody else who he's already interacted with pop over, like that would just be like what we've been wanting for so long. And like, sure, you can introduce other characters, but he's had this relationship now, so I think it would make a lot of sense, unless, unfortunately, to Jalen's heart, it would, if it's it's broken off in some sense off screen or something, you know, but we don't want that, so.
We do.
Kevin will get a letter from me if that happens.
We do expect the next time we see Matt Murdock is going to be an Echo, and then Daredevil Born Again is going to be an 18 episode. Run. The only thing we know is it's going to be in Hell's Kitchen. It's going to have Vincent D'Onofrio as Kingpin back. Jalen, I'm going to throw this comment up on the screen. It says put an APB out for Josh. We need to find where he went. Josh sucks.
Hate Josh.
If Jen shows up in Born Again, Matt's going to have to fight off both Jen and Karen with a stick. If you replace the character of Elektra with She-Hulk, I wouldn't completely hate it. All things considered, we still don't know if it's a continuation of the Netflix series, if it's kind of a multiverse version. They've talked about it on multiple occasions and kind of talked out of both sides of their mouth a little bit. So we don't know for sure what's going to happen here. I don't know what to expect. All I know is Charlie Cox is Matt Murdock as much as Robert Downey Jr. is Tony Stark. Like, this guy owns this role. And he seems to be on board for just about anything and everything they're going to throw his way. He's a far more important version of Phil Coulson, with all due respect to Phil Coulson, or Wong for that matter. He's been referred to as this phase's Phil Coulson, kind of brings that interconnectivity. If Daredevil's our guy to do that, I'm in. Like, I'm all about it. So we'll see kind of what where we go from there. Who from this show do we think we're going to see again? Jalen, you think you want to see Nikki and Pug again. Mm-hmm. I think Mallory Book is going to be back at some point. I hope Mr. Immortal comes back. I thought Mr. Immortal was hilarious. I don't know where that would pop up. I think it was just a gag for the one show. Yeah. It gave us another mutant, so we're at least establishing more mutants. You can go back to last week's episode and hear Mike Ruby talk about what this is doing for the anonymity of superheroes. I thought that stuff coming out of last week's episode that Mike was talking about was really brilliant stuff with what they're establishing here, and more superhero people in the world, superpowered people in the world. But I think Mallory Book will show back up. But at this point, it just feels like Matt Murdock and Jen Walters are probably going to be our only true carryover, with the exception of obviously Scar and Bruce. Cause we didn't talk about Scar. Kevin, you have discussed Scar's existence. He is literally Scar. That's where he gets his name from. He's a lot older than I expected him to be.
Yeah, he's around where I thought he would be, you know, like late. Yeah, he's kind of about that age, I think, in the comics more or less. So we're like, when we see him, like, I don't know what you would call him, like,
yeah, I guess
late teenager, early 20s, maybe. Like, I don't know.
And time works weird. Time works weird, yeah. On Scar.
Yeah, but Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. Kevin Feige suggested he appear in the episode and also approved his design, the design. So that weird haircut was all Kevin Feige's, I guess. but there was an actor, like they did credit somebody to him. So they've been kind of cagey on if that actor was the face design or was more just like on set to do the motion capture or whatever, you know, so it'll be interesting.
Will Duesner.
Duesner, yeah. So if anybody has watched the Stargirl series, I think he had a minor role in like the early episodes on that, I think. But so it'll be interesting wherever he appears next, if we get like a name casting or if this guy continues over, you know, who knows. But yeah, it was I thought when, you know, when we were talking to Robot Kevin and that would have been the end of it. But then we got to the Fast and the Furious dinner party and here comes Bruce and it's like, oh, here he is. And it's like, OK, we're just dropping that here. Like we're not waiting for the movie. We are actually just dropping him here for that. So
I almost expected her to just look in the camera and be like, Kevin couldn't help himself, could he? Like, he just couldn't do it. So that would have been funny. It did seem very Fast and the Furious from that. I just want to look at his face again. it was bonkers. Charlie Cox playing the confusion of just everything going on. Like, imagine hearing all this and not being able to see like what's going on. But you're like, even though he kind of has quote unquote echolocation, like he can't possibly think he's seeing anything correct when it comes to Scar and his haircut, if nothing else. So Late Night Alum says, what I love about the family get together scene is the fact that Larry Walters and Matt Murdock are no longer perfect strangers. Nice one. All right. Well, Jalen, you said you don't know where it ranks, but overall, are you happy that this series exists? Where does it rank in 2022? Moon Knight, Ms. Marvel, and She-Hulk.
That's tough because I really love all the shows that we got this year. It would probably be second behind Moon Knight.
Okay. Above Ms. Marvel. That surprises me.
But that's just because it's new and fresh in my mind. I need to go back and watch Ms. Marvel again because I did really like that show. I love the female representation we got from this. That was great. Something we haven't really gotten before. Breaking the fourth wall was so much fun. Her sense of humor was great. The side characters. It was just a really good show. And I'm glad we got it, and I'm ready to binge it because I think it'll be a really good binge show.
If we're going to break the fourth wall like this with this character, imagine what they're going to do with Deadpool. Like the amount of fourth wall breaking. I hope they call out Cable being Thanos. Like, I hope they call that out. I hope they call that out. Kevin, we've reached kind of the end of the first hoorah of Disney Plus. From Marvel Studios. We really don't know what's next. We know that Armor Wars originally announced to be a series. Now we've got plenty coming still. We've got Secret Invasion. We've got Ironheart. We've got things that are coming, but we've kind of reached our end of what was originally coming. You are going to see a few changes here on Earth's Mightiest Weirdos as well. Those weeks where there's not new episodes, it's really hard to fill, especially I can only come up with so many Family Feud or Jeopardy questions and stuff like that. So stay close to us here, but we may not be weekly all the time. But Kevin, Disney Plus, Marvel Studios, give it a letter grade. Are you very happy with it? Is it an A+? Do you think it's an incomplete? Are you happy? Obviously you're happy we have the content. Like,
I think as like generally as a whole for what we've gotten, I probably in B+/A- range. Okay. And only, but that's as a whole. Like, obviously, individual parts are A+, you know. But I think because of some of the early, like, treading the water towards the end of, like, the ends of the seasons are just not, they're not landing. They're not as good as like WandaVision. It kind of started like the ending was okay, but it was like everyone up until the ending, the series was better than the end, you know? Same thing with Falcon and the Winter Soldier. Like that just, that, I mean, COVID really hit that one with storyline stuff. And so that one, I feel, wasn't really as great as it probably could have been. And then, I mean, Loki more or less was overall okay. Maybe because it was renewed for a second season. So they kind of like had a way to like send it off into a future storyline, you know? What if people either maybe didn't see it or just were like, so on it, you know? Yeah. And then Hawkeye was generally pretty good, but again, the ending and kind of shoehorning Kingpin in there, as great as it was, that kind of felt weird, you know? This year's content felt a little more better as a whole. And I think I was saying this with our friend Alex of the program from Comics and Cinema, like Moon Knight, She-Hulk, and Ms. Marvel were the three that were announced at D23 2019 after the initial Phase 4 slate. So like those were slightly after they had started WandaVision, Falcon, Winter Soldier, you know? So that's why I feel like She-Hulk was able to commentate more a little, like, I don't know where they were in the process of what had released, but like, I feel like they could talk a little bit about these negatives that people had. And so I definitely feel starting next year, like with Secret Invasion, maybe not, but like definitely Ironheart, Echo, like I feel like they can take this criticism that's happened and hopefully we do have a smoother overall experience for a series of like making it feel like the ending lands and it's not just like we're all rushed towards the end or whatever, you know? So I feel like we got through the growing pains of them shifting from content broken up into a 2-hour movie broken up into 6 episodes and now can maybe actually make TV-esque chunks and make it good, you know, in that sense.
Which of the praises I gave Andor is a mild criticism there. They really, the endings of the episodes come at really odd times. Mm-hmm. But it's just because they really do feel like it's going to be 4 3-episode
chunks. Yeah.
It's just 3 chunks. So, I do expect Secret Invasion to feel like a Jason Bourne movie. I think it's going to be, I do hope they are able to build off of some of those early criticisms and build out a story that they're really going to like. And it's not that far away. The next piece of content we're going to get is Wakanda Forever. And then shortly after that, the next piece of Disney Plus content is going to be the Marvel Studios special presentation of the Guardians of the Galaxy holiday special. There will be a holiday remix at the Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind in Epcot as well. Put a little bow on our Cosmic Rewind discussion. You both had a chance to write it in the last couple of weeks. Jalen, what did you make of Cosmic Rewind?
So much fun. So much fun. Even though I got the same song twice, it's okay. I'm not bitter. watching the videos on YouTube does not do the ride justice. It is way better than what you can see on YouTube. But if you are at Disney World, go on that ride. It is worth it.
Kevin, you avoided YouTube altogether for that ride. You went onto it almost basically unspoiled. What did you make of it?
Cross-pollinate and steal from our friends at Agents of Field, I'm jumping on my Bruce Banner bandwagon of Cosmic Rewind. I'm jumping on that bandwagon. Like you said, I went in completely blind. I knew some elements about what the car did and parts of what happened at the start of the ride. So I was sort of expecting that. And I got to sit next to Jalen when I did that. So she just kind of cued me up a little bit on what was going to happen. But it was so, so much fun. And we as soon as we got off, we were like, let's go again. But because of how it's still under the ticketing system, we couldn't just hop back in line. But if we could have, I know we all would have, because one, we got to get another song, and two, we wanted to go again. So
I cannot wait to do it with the holiday remix.
Yeah. I hope when it is up, that's like all that they play. And so it's not like
you. Yeah. I think they've said it'll just be kind of, it's a remix of songs. So it won't be different songs. It's just going to be the same song for every train. And it's going to be a mix of 2 or 3 songs throughout throughout the ride. So
nice.
Yeah. So, well, thank you both so much for coming on. Jalen, anything you need to plug?
Tune in to Nerdy Girls for our She-Hulk discussion. We're going to talk about the whole season and all the female representation that we got from it. So there won't be an interruption of another surprise that I know of. I don't know, maybe. But as far as I know, there's no more surprises coming.
This week, Jalen's bridal shower.
Yeah.
Devin, how about you?
Nothing to plug. I just want to add, because I didn't comment when about seeing characters again, I would love to see Madison again. I just hope she pops up. She was my of all the guest characters, she was my favorite by far. Like, obviously, Nikki and Pug as people who throughout were favorites, but Madison by far was my favorite. And I hope they get to utilize her somewhere else and can have her pop up here or there, because she's too good of a character to just have her just be stuck to this series.
Two N's, one Y, but not where you think. She needs to come back. I need more Wong watching the golden age of television too. Mm-hmm. Like, what's after The Sopranos? Like, Wong watching Game of Thrones is something I need.
Well, he was watching This Is Us.
Yeah.
Oh, was he? I didn't.
Yeah, that was in the post credit. That was the post credits. When Madison is with him, they were watching This Is Us. So that's what they were watching.
That's awesome. I only watched first season of This Is Us, and I thought it was good. And then I cried too much, so I never went back.
That's fair.
Sundays are for Babu's freaking podcast. We'll be on soon, talking Andor potentially this upcoming Sunday. I can't make any promises that I can't keep. Next Monday, Earth's Mightiest Weirdos, we will be off. But stay tuned to the Marvel Cinematic Universe. There is things to watch. Watch Werewolf by Night if you have not. It's a lot of fun. Go buy your tickets for Wakanda Forever. That comes out on November 11th. Tuesdays, Comics and Cinema with Alex Klein. I don't know what he's doing. He talked a lot of...
Oh, I do know. Things.
Go ahead.
I'll be on his show tomorrow. Me and Anthony, really? we're talking Halloween Ends tomorrow.
The movie sucks. Wednesday is for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. We did 2 weeks ago, we did an MLB postseason preview. Listen to it right now because it is hilarious, because we got everything wrong.
Yeah.
Like everything wrong. It's super fun. And then Ryan did an NHL preview last week. And then this week we are previewing the upcoming NBA season. Thursdays, Nerdy Girls After Dark. And Sarah at the Nerd Emporium will be back with her spectaculars in the near future as well. We did one episode of One Pod to Rule Them All discussing Rings of Power on Amazon Prime. That series has wrapped up. Sarah and I need to find time to discuss this series. It is a hot button topic among Lord of the Rings fans. I thought the series was absolutely fantastic. If you like Lord of the Rings, at least give it a shot. I understand it may go against some things Tolkien said. Sure, it's fine. It's a really well-produced show. I liked it a lot. So, but until next time, guys, for the children.
Earth's Mightiest Weirdos is brought to you by Pinch of Pixie Dust Travel. People who love travel understand that life isn't about the breaths you take, it's about the moments that take your breath away. That's why we help coordinate the most magical adventures for you and your family. Disney, Universal, Sandals, Norwegian, Carnival, and more, we are a full-service concierge travel agency that will help with every aspect of your journey. Let us take care of the details while you enjoy your family. Get a quote today by calling us at 570-832-7798 or fill out a trip request form at pinchofpixiedusttravel.com. Just follow the second star to the right straight on to your adventure. That's pinchofpixiedusttravel.com, where you're making memories one trip at a time.